Today in South Sudan, we estimate that there's about 8.9 million people who have needs that are assessed against what we would see as a humanitarian requirement. Now, that could be that someone is ill and they need healthcare. They're in a situation where they have not enough access to safe drinking water. It could be a child who's been separated and we need them to come and find their family. However, of course, there is no way, as just the humanitarians, that we can provide all the support that's needed for everyone everywhere. It's within the limited resources we would be able to raise. So as the humanitarians, what we have defined is that of that 8.9 million, we are going to do our best to target 6.8 million people. And that's a huge number. But that is what we're going to try to do. And to enable that action, there will always be a cost. So the estimate is $1.7 billion. And we know that's a lot. But let me just give you some of the breakdown as to what that would mean. So for children who are malnourished across the country, for women who are pregnant or lactating, the support that they would require, we estimate that that would need $230 million to provide basic food assistance, livelihood support, food security elements. That is always going to be the biggest one. And the estimated cost for food security and livelihood is $650 million. Education, ensuring that the children have access to education for the future, that'll cost $54 million. Now, let me just talk about the people themselves for a moment. The estimates right now is that there are over 2 million people who've been forced to displace from their homes in South Sudan. And some of these are people who were displaced in the years past, including from flooding in 2020 and in 2021. And their areas of origin are still not accessible for them to go home.
You've already mentioned food security, displacement because of insecurity and flooding. So what would you say are the major factors driving humanitarian needs in South Sudan today?
I think you've captured them there just even in how you summarized. So with people who are fleeing right now, because of the violence that they experienced in the Agok and Annette area. Some of them have gone further north, others have come down south into Warap, across and even into Bahar al-Ghazal. I was there myself about a week ago, and some of the people told us they fled with the clothes they're wearing. When the flooding happens, it's the same. Sometimes the families are able to grab a blanket or a saucepan, a knife, so that they can move and go elsewhere, but not always. So it's a combination. It's people who feel unsafe, people impacted by flooding, in terms of the impact of some of the violence. And for some of these people who flee, they've actually experienced a multitude of these different things that force them to leave their home.
And in terms of geographic areas, as we know, different areas in South Sudan have different humanitarian needs. We have arable and fertile lands around the equatorial region, for example, where food should be plenty, but issues of insecurity might affect cultivation of food. Whereas up in the north, around Unity, Upper Nile, even Warap, flooding is the major factor driving humanitarian needs. How do you break it down generally, geographically speaking?
So across the country, we have different pockets of area, exactly as you said, where there's the different needs. Some of the areas that are of absolute focus are, for example, in Bentu, where you have people who were affected consecutive years with the flooding, but also had displaced because of violence. And now the standing water from 2021 did not go away. So as soon as it rains, we're worried that that will increase. But these are also a population who've been exposed to disease outbreaks, malaria, diarrhea among the children. This is the reality. If you go further north, up around to the northern Morab, as I say, we now have people who have had to flee because of violence, and they have really complex and absolute humanitarian needs, but across all, they need emergency shelters, they need soap, they need mental health and psychosocial support. It is that whole spectrum. Then down south, in Western Equatoria, the violence of last year resulted in over 80,000 people who were impacted. Some of them, exactly as you say, from the breadbasket. This is the area that produced, and now they're displaced. They can't even cultivate as they would normally do. Just south of where we are right now in Juba, the violence in Magui has forced people to flee.
Let's talk about funding. You are appealing for $1.7 billion this year. How much funding do you have at your disposal, and what services will you direct the funds towards?
Very honestly, I cannot tell you how much funding has currently been made available. How it works is that the donors provide, often bilaterally, to a partner, and that's their contractual arrangement. And it's then reported usually at the end of every quarter. So here we are on the last day of March. So in April, that information would be more available. The 1.7 billion is a huge amount, and we're very aware of that. And of course, it is a request.
Yes.
Will it definitely all be provided? We would hope so, but we also have to be realistic.